I'd like you to turn with me, please, to the book of 2 Kings and chapter 6, please. 2 Kings and chapter 6. And what I would like to do this morning is bring before you the testimony of two men. And I do enjoy hearing testimonies. Sometimes they're testimonies of God's saving grace, and other times they are testimonies of God's dealings in a person's life. And a number of years ago, the Lord blessed a truth to my heart, which I trust, as I've been praying and asking the Lord for his guidance this morning, as I share this with you, that it will encourage and bless you as much as the Lord blessed the truth to my heart. We're in 2 Kings, please, and chapter 6. I'm going to begin reading at verse number 8. And for the sake of time, we'll maybe just comment on the passage as we read through it. This story here, or the narrative, relates around Elisha the prophet. And we read, "Then the king of Syria warred against Israel, and took counsel with his servants, saying, 'In such a place shall be my camp.' And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, 'Beware that thou pass not such a place, because thither the Syrians are come down.' And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God had told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not only once or twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled for this thing. And he called his servants and said unto them, 'Will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?' And one of his servants said, 'None, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet that is in Israel telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber.' And he said, 'Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him.' And it was told him, saying, 'Behold, he is in Dothan.' Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and surrounded the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host surrounded the city, both with horses and chariots. And the servant said unto him, 'Alas, master, alas, my master, how shall we do?' And he answered, 'Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them.' And Elisha prayed and said, 'Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see.' And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, 'Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness.' And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. And Elisha said unto them, 'This is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek.' But he led them to Samaria. And it came to pass, when they were come into Samaria, that Elisha said, 'Lord, open the eyes of these men, that they may see.' And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. And the king of Israel said unto Elisha, when he saw them, 'My father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them?' And he answered, 'Thou shalt not smite them. Wouldst thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with thy sword and with thy bow? Set bread and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go to their master.' And he prepared great provision for them. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel." Amen. Going to turn to another passage in a moment or two, but what we have read here is a testimony of a man called Elisha. Now, Elisha was no mean man within the scriptures. In fact, if you were to take all of the chapters in the book of 2 Kings particularly that account for the life and the exploits of Elisha the prophet, they span to somewhere around 10 chapters. This was a man who made great impact on his day and on his generation for God. And in verse number 13, if you have your Bible open, you'll find this, that one day Elisha the prophet found himself at Dothan. And I want to talk to you this morning just for a moment or two about Elisha's experience at the place called Dothan. And the truth that I want to get to this morning when we look at Elisha and then when we look at another character is that both of these men found themselves at the same place in life, and yet God dealt with them in totally different ways. And it is a truth in every company and congregation of God's people that all of us can find ourselves in similar circumstances, and yet somehow or other God deals with us in different ways. I wonder if you can picture yourself here with Elisha at Dothan. We read in those early verses how the king of Syria was warring against Israel. And as he sets his battle plans in array in order to defeat and attack and overcome the Israelites, he discovers this, that every move he makes and every plan he organizes for his armies, somehow or other, the information leaks out and his battle plans are disclosed to his enemies, the Israelites. This upsets him greatly, as it would any prime minister, army general, or anyone who's seeking to order their battle plans. And he goes to one of his officers and he says, "Who's the spy amongst us? There's someone inside our camp and he's carrying tales to the enemy. There's someone leaking information." And the officer in charge tells them there's nobody leaking information, but God reveals in the ear of Elisha the prophet your battle plans before you even hatch them. And isn't it a wonderful truth that God knows everything? His eyes are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. God knows. And on this occasion, God reveals the battle plans of the king of Assyria, or the king of Syria, to Elisha the prophet. Well, the king then says to his officer, "Well, where is this Elisha? Where is this man that I may go and get him?" And he says in verse number 13, he's in Dothan. He's in Dothan. And so in the subsequent verses from 14 down, the next few verses, we read how the king of Syria sends his armies by night time to this city called Dothan. And he surrounds the city at night time, and inside that city, Elisha is there and his servant. And in verse number 15, we read, "And the servant of the man of God was risen early, and he got up the next morning, risen early, and he went out, and as it were, he looked over the walls of the city. And as he looks over the walls of the city, he looks and he just, his heart sinks in despair as he sees the armies of Syria surrounding the city that particular morning. And he just cries out, 'Alas, master, how shall we do? How shall we do?'" It is a truth that the children of God, those who are the Lord's people, that our lives are not exempt from problems. Our lives are not exempt from the struggles and the trials and the griefs and the pains and the sicknesses and the disappointments that everyone else experiences. And I wonder if you could picture that, put yourself in the shoes of this young servant of Elisha, and as you look out over the battlement and over the wall of the city, you see enemies that have surrounded you at night time. And you say, "We might as well hoist the white flag. Not even God could deliver us from these enemies. Not even God could help us now. Look at the armies that are surrounding us. Look at the problems. Look at what we've got to face. Lord, how shall we do? How shall we do? Is that you this morning? Or have you ever been there in life? You felt not even God could help us here. Everything's against me. Everything has turned upside down. Everything's lost. We might as well give up and lie down. But that wasn't what Elisha said. Elisha says in verse 16, he says, "Fear not, for those that be with us are more than those that be with them." What's your problem this morning? What is it that you face? What is it that you struggle with? What is it that's going to defeat you and squeeze your life? What is it that you feel not even God can help? And there's a voice comes from heaven and it says this, "Fear not, those that be with us are more than those that be with them." And then he says, "Lord, open the young man's eyes. Let him see that God is on the throne. Let him see the army that's surrounded with angels. Let him see that God is here." And it says in verse 17, "The Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha." Isn't it a wonderful truth, brother, sister, this morning, that many of us can look back to times in our lives, and here we were at Dothan, and we thought, we'll never get out of this. We think our enemies are going to crush us. We think our problems are never going to go away, but the Lord, we discovered, was there with us at Dothan, and when we prayed, we saw that the mountain round about us was full of horses and chariots, and the Lord gave us a wonderful deliverance. There are people who have been led aside and they've been told it's cancer. But you know what? They prayed and somehow the Lord intervened. Someone else, and they've prayed, they've been told you failed your exams. But you know what? The Lord overruled and the Lord undertook. There's people and they've been faced with all employment and they bowed their knees and somehow or other God sent deliverance. God met their need. There they were at Dothan and they give their testimony and they say, "I cried unto the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me from all my afflictions. He delivered me from all my fears. He scattered mine enemies." And let me tell you my testimony this morning. I've got a loving Heavenly Father who sees, who knows, who cares. And he delivered me. Have you ever been at Dothan? What would your story be? You talk to me about your grandchild. You might speak to me about your granddaughter, your grandson. You may speak to me about your mother or your father. You may speak to me about yourself and you say, "Oh, how God met me. Everything was against me and all hope was gone, but I saw a mountain filled with horses and chariots and God delivered me." Let me tell you about Dothan. Let me tell you how the Lord is able to undertake and overrule. Let me tell you how he turns it all around. Is that your testimony? Is that your song of rejoicing this morning? And you say, "Praise the Lord, my times are in his hand." Now come with me, if you would, to the only other place I think in the scriptures where Dothan is mentioned. Genesis chapter 37. And we have in Genesis chapter 37 the experience of another servant of God when they got to Dothan. And if the only place Dothan was mentioned in the scripture was in 2 Kings in chapter 6, I'm sure we'd all say, "I'd love to be at Dothan, just like Elisha." But here's Joseph's experience at Dothan. And in chapter 37 and verse number 1, we read as follows. "And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and they brought And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colours. And when his brethren saw that their father loved Joseph more than all his brethren, they hated him, and they could not speak peaceably unto him. Look at verse number 12. And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, Do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem. Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said to him, Here am I. So here's Joseph, and he's going off to visit his brothers who are looking after the sheep, and he wants to take them some provisions. Verse 14. And Jacob said to him, Go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a certain man found Joseph, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, What seekest thou? And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, They are departed hence, for I heard them say, Let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren, and he found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him, and cast him into some pit, and we will say, Some evil beast has devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands, and said, Let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands, to deliver him to his father again. And it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped him of his coat. They stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colours that was on him. They took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going down to carry it to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, What profit is it if we kill our brother and conceal his brother? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hands be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content. And they sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. Here's Joseph at Dothan. I wonder, can you imagine him? 17 years of age. A young man who walks and who loves the Lord. And as he approaches his brothers, these brothers set upon the 17-year-old boy. And they tear his coat of many colours from him. And he begins to cry out, Brothers, what are you doing? Reuben, why do you let them do this? Asher, what have I ever done to you? And then he begins to cry to God, God, deliver me. What have I done? Why are they doing this? Why are they stripping me? Why are they putting me in this pit? Why are they being so unkind to me? Lord, will you hear me? And you know what? Heaven is silent. And God does not answer. And here he is at Dothan, just like Elisha, who prayed, Lord, open the young man's eyes. And God sent an army of horses and chariots, and he delivered them. And here's another child of God at Dothan, and here he is being stripped and malhandled and abused and thrown into a pit and left for dead. And God doesn't hear. God doesn't answer. And then, to make matters worse, some traders, merchant men, come along, and they sit and they talk to one another, and they say, well, why not sell him to these merchant men? And they get Joseph out of the pit, and they tie his hands, and they take this 20 pieces of silver, and Joseph is barefooted, and there he is, dragged behind a camel down to Egypt. And he's crying, Lord, why? Where are you, Lord? Do you not hear my prayer? What's wrong? What have I done to deserve this? Why are they selling me? Will I never see my father again? Lord, what a place Dothan is. I wish I'd never come. I wish it had never come out that morning. I wish I'd never left home that day. Brothers and sisters, was the Lord with Joseph at Dothan? Was the Lord with Elisha at Dothan? Oh yes, I can see God's hand there. But what about this day? Where was God? Where was God? Would you like to give your testimony this morning of a day when you prayed and God didn't seem to care? The day when you cried and the tears weren't wiped away. The day when they carried you away bound to a foreign land, and even when you got there, there's a woman and she tells lies about you and she says you tried to rape her, you tried to seduce her, and then you got thrown into prison and you're praying still and you say, where's the Lord in all of this? What happened at Dothan that I deserve what's happening now? And then you get thrown into prison and there's a butler and there's a baker there, and the butler and the baker tell you about their dreams and you interpret them, and the baker's beheaded and the butler's restored to his butlership, and you say, when it's well with you, would you remember me? And the butler forgets you. And you ask yourself the question, I can't see God. There at Dothan I thought he was with me, but when I prayed he never answered, he didn't come near. And you think, where's the Lord been in all of this? And then one day a jailer comes to your door and he calls you out and he says, I can hear you can interpret dreams. And he tells you about the king of Egypt. He's had a dream and you're released from the prison and you're taken into Pharaoh's palace, and you interpret his dreams about 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. And then you come, the 7 years of plenty come, and you lay up storehouses for years, and then the 7 years of famine come, and one day, ten men come from a far country to buy corn. Come with me now to Genesis 50. That's a long way from Genesis 37. Come to Genesis chapter 50. And here we have Joseph many years later. And we have in Genesis chapter 50 Joseph's testimony as the brothers come looking for food. And verse 14 of Genesis 50, and Joseph returned into Egypt, he and his brothers and all that were with him, to bury his father after he had buried his father. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us for all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin. For they did evil unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive their trespass of the servants of God thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for I am in the place of God. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear ye not. Brothers and sisters, was God with Elisha at Dothan? Oh, you say, yes, God was there. Now let me ask you, was God with Joseph at Dothan? Oh, yes, God was at Dothan with Joseph. A number of years ago, I was visiting someone from our church who was admitted to hospital because of a stroke. And as I sat at the bedside, the gentleman's daughter was there and her husband. And they began to talk to me just as we sat at the bedside, and they said, you know, a number of years ago, the lady, she was in hospital and she had been diagnosed with breast cancer. And as she was in hospital being treated for her illness, there was a lady on this side of the bed and there was a lady over here. And as her husband sat with his wife, he prayed with his wife before he went home. And after he had gone home, the lady on this side turned to her and he says, "The next time your husband's in with you, would you mind if he read and prayed with me?" And the lady over here, she said, "Well, the next time your husband's in, would you mind if he read and prayed with me?" And she says, "Oh yes, my husband would be delighted to do that." And so the next time he was in, he read and prayed with this lady and he read and he prayed with that lady. And then after a little while, a few weeks, this lady over here, she trusted the Lord and she got saved. And then this lady over here, when she got released from hospital, she started going along to their church and she too got saved. And then there was the lady just across that way and she said, "Would your husband come and pray with me?" And she started coming to church as well. And one night in their church service, this lady gave her testimony. As she was talking to the wife of the man that I was speaking to, and she says, "You know what? I'm glad that you got cancer." And she says, "I'm glad I got cancer. Because," she says, "if I had never got cancer and you had never got cancer, I would never have got saved." Was God at Dothan? Of course he was at Dothan. How many people want to find fault with God when they can't see the end from the beginning? Yes, we'd all love to be like Elisha and see the mountain filled with horses when we cry. But sometimes the Lord says, "I'm going to deal with you as I dealt with Joseph, and you're going to go through something. But you know what? I'm in it from the beginning to the end. I know what I'm doing. My Father's way may twist and turn. My heart may pain and ache, but in my heart, I'm glad I know he maketh no mistake. Not now, but in the coming years, it may be in the better land, we'll read the meaning of our tears, and there sometime we'll understand." Young girl in our church, they lost their first baby, and she sits with her mum and she says, "Mum, why? Why did the Lord allow me to lose it?" And she's gone on to have other children now. But you know what? A girl that she went to school with who's not saved, she too lost her first baby. Who did she come to talk to? It was the Christian girl who knew what it was to lose their first baby. We don't know why God allows us to go through some things. But know this: all things work together for good to those that love God, to those that are the called according to his purpose. The Lord knows, and he doesn't deal with all his children the same way. Time is gone, but Acts chapter 12, we read about the persecution of the New Testament church. And that Herod puts to death James. He kills him. And then it says that when James was put to death by the swords, Herod saw that it pleased the people, and so he arrested Peter and he put Peter in prison. But you know what? The Lord sent an angel. The Lord sent an angel and delivered Peter out of prison. Imagine if you were a relative of James and you would say, "Lord, why did you send an angel to deliver Peter, but you allowed James to be killed?" There's no answer to that question. All you've got to be able to say is, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth good." You see, God is the God of Dothan. God knows. God is in control. And we never want to let our bad times let us become bitter. Never allow the bitter experiences of life to make you bitter. Rather, bow before your heavenly Father and say, "Lord, thou knowest. Lord, you're in control. And Lord, I commit my way and my circumstances and everything that I am to you." And maybe like Joseph at the end of life, we'll be able to say, "Fear not, for I am in the place of God." May the Lord bless his word to all our hearts this morning. Amen.